Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
John Lopez, Cody Stutzen, Lou with you out from the T-Mobile store, 9212 Fry Road, Fry Road in Mira Mesa, Devil's River Whiskey Broadcast Desk is where we're broadcasting from. On Sunday, Mike and Seth will be broadcasting the FCL Dental pregame show at 9. Mark Vandermeer, Andre Ware, John Harris have kickoff of Texans Patriots at noon. And then Sean Pendergast and Ted Johnson have the postgame coverage taking up to Sunday Night Football right here only on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Sitting down with us out here at the T-Mobile at McLean underscore on underscore NFL, the General John McLean sitting down with us. John, how are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
We are terrific, obviously talking about the Jalen Strong thing, and nice to be out here in the Cypress area. We don't get out here very often.
It's beautiful out here.
It
what
is.
What I liked is there wasn't a lot of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And those three, it's amazing. Somebody told me there are at least 10 Cypress schools out here that are 6A.
Man, I went by the Berry Center on the way out here.
Did you? That's unbelievable.
Nice.
I came out, Katie, from my house, got on the Grand Parkway, and I'd never seen Cypress Springs just – elementary, junior high, and high school just lined up.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible complex out there, as they are most of those suburban schools, because he has so much room to put stadiums and schools.
Exactly.
On there. Impressive.
All right, well, let's talk about what we were just talking about. I don't know how much you were listening driving in, but I found this just stunning. I mean, I'm not trying to overstate it, just stunning. Rick Smith has drafted 18 players in the second through fourth round since 2011, from between 2011 and 2015. 16 and 17 were kind of, you know, because they're so recent. Braxton Miller, Tyler Irvin last year, et cetera. But from 2011 to 2015, he's drafted 18 players in the second through fourth round. 14 are no longer on this team.
That's amazing, isn't it?
It's awful.
I mean, we're cut.
Well, to me, I mean, somebody.
Did they trade any of them? I can't even remember.
I'll go through them all to you. All right, let me read them all. Rock Carmichael, Brandon Harris, Brooks Reed, Jared Crick, Keyshawn Martin, Ben Jones, Brandon Brooks, Devere Posey, Trevardo Williams, Sam Montgomery, Brennan Williams, DJ Swearinger, Lewis Nix, Xavier Suofilo is still on the team, and Jalen Strong. Those are the ones that are gone.
Well, a bunch of those were buzzed, but in fairness, about four or five of them left for free agency to other teams because of cap issues. But, yeah, those are some bad picks.
I mean, that's
Of all the ones, Brandon Harris, a second-round pick. He played a couple of years. Lewis Nix was a buzz from the get-go. And
yeah.
Their worst draft ever was the one that had Sam Montgomery. I think Sam Montgomery's the worst draft choice I ever had. It's like I think Ed Reed was the worst free agent they ever had. But, yeah.
Well, these are the second-round picks. Xavier Suofilo, who we know is struggling mightily. DJ Swag, he's gone. Brooks Reed and Brandon Harris. Those are the second-round picks.
Yeah, Brandon Harris was a bad pick. He couldn't run. If you're going to draft a corner in second round, he's got to have some speed.
Well, would you react to it is – That's where you make your money as a general manager.
Well, they've done better in the first round than almost any other team in the league, so you got to be fair about that.
Yeah, oh,
a lot of teams have a lot of buzz in the first round. So yeah, no, that's you. Mike Olivak always told me, and he was the best personnel guy I ever worked with. He said the below the premium rounds, which would be the below three, that's where good personnel people make their money.
Mm-hmm.
How many they have in those rounds?
We got some sixth and seventh rounders that are on the team. I'll go through starting in 15 the same year. Rashard Clyett, Christian Covington is on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Hilliard, Alfred Blue is on the team. Jeffrey Pagan, Jay Prosh, Andre Howe, Lonnie Ballantyne.
R.I.P. Lonnie, R.I.P.
David Questenberry.
He was hurt four years in a row.
Alan Bonner. Rex, Chris Jones,
Ryan Griffin.
They've had some hits, but man, that's a bad look for Rick
Smith. Yes, it is. It is a bad look.
How How much of Rick Smith's selection of these guys, and just specifically since O'Brien got here, what happened when Kubiak was here is less relevant to this team. But since O'Brien got here, how much of it is Smith knows what O'Brien wants and tries to find those players, or just tries to find the best players? Like, they've got to have some sort of line of communication.
As I've said from the get-go,
where they line up.
Every scout, every decision made has got to be based on what the position coaches want at their position. And when they're on draft day, Rick Smith, Bob McNair, they let a bunch of people in the draft room. And Bill's right there. And Bill doesn't have to play anybody he don't want to play. It's in his contract. So if Rick had somebody he really liked, Bill didn't, he won't have to play him.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard some people out there a couple of weeks ago saying that O'Brien was made to play Watson at halftime of that first game, which was one of the dumbest things I've ever heard, and I've heard some dumb things. When it's specifically laid out in their contracts who has what responsibility, and O'Brien talked to us about it. He said, I control who is on the field. He said, I don't control anything else. And that was a question about Duane Brown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's Rick Smith's policy. And so for anybody to think that O'Brien's made do anything when it comes to playing people is clueless.
Well, what happened with Jalen Strong? Why is Jalen Strong no longer on this team?
Because they didn't think he was getting any better, and because Will Fuller's back.
Well, now, when you say Will Fuller's back, and we know he practiced yesterday, does that mean Will Fuller's going to play this weekend?
I think if he has a full week of practice, you'll see him on the field.
That's a lot faster than a lot of people thought he was going to be back.
They never said a word. What I was told, best-case scenario, October the 1st. What is today, anyway?
Today's the 19th.
So he would be coming back. How many days would that be? Like 8 days early?
Mm-hmm.
And so he would be coming back 8 days early if he comes back this week. There's no guarantee. So he's got to be able to go full speed. He's got to be able to take hits. Thing about Fuller was strange to me. He got hurt. I watched him fall on his shoulder. And Jeff Kaplan walked off with him, reaching under his shoulder pad, feeling around. So he left and came home and had surgery, and he was back at training camp really quick. And I always assume if you've got a collarbone broken that you would wear some kind of sling. But he came back just as normal as can be. He was there for probably last almost 3 weeks. He was in the huddle. He was on the sideline. He was in the meeting. So he didn't miss anything mentally. And so they can certainly use him. And Ryan Griffin and Steven Anderson are supposed to be back, so they'll be in a lot better shape physically than they were. And if he could come back early, then that's a testimonial to him, the doctors, the trainers, and everything. And if it's another week, then it'd be right on target for best-case scenario.
All right, so let's look at the wide receiver.
Let's talk about what they're going to have available when they play the Patriots on Sunday. We got to get to that and how they managed without what they had available against Cincinnati. Let's get into that with John McClain. He's in with us. And we're out here at T-Mobile, 9212 Fry Road. Fry Road and Mira Mesa from the Devil's River Whiskey Broadcast Desk. Come out and find out how you can get a free Android tablet with our friends at T-Mobile. All right, who's going to be available for them, who should be available, and how did they manage without the available guys last week? Let's talk about that with John McClain next in Loop Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Cody Stutes, the General John McClain out here live from the Devil's River Whiskey Broadcast Desk. We're broadcasting 9212 Fry Road. Fry Road and Mira Mesa, our friends over here at T-Mobile. It's a T-Mobile Tuesday. Come in, talk to them, find out how you can get yourself $25 to restaurant.com out here at T-Mobile. Sign up for your chance to win some tickets, some Houston tickets, and all you got to do is register and drop your name off. Come back when we're doing the drawing. When we draw your name, you're going to win yourself a pair of tickets. You'll have your chance to pick your home game coming up at 11 o'clock. You got to win those by phone. And here's what I've been told from the higher-ups. Mm-hmm. Just one pair of tickets left for Steelers-Texans on Christmas Day.
Oh,
so
wow.
11 o'clock potentially is your last chance at Steelers-Texans.
All the other games tickets. You get to pick.
The Watt Bowl.
The Watt Bowl.
Who do you think is going to have more sacks going into that game?
Ooh.
TJ or JJ?
Ooh, JJ. That's a good question.
Easy. Did
that's
TJ easy. Have any Sunday?
That's a great question.
He had two the first game. I can't remember if he had one.
You think it's easy, Cody?
The league, it's going to be JJ Watt easy. Because the league, there's the rookie wall that's inevitable for almost every rookie. And the league's going to adjust when they see that he's a fearsome pass rusher for that team.
The difference is the Texans are not going to have it. They haven't had big leads in so long. they wouldn't know what to do with one where they could tee off on the pass rusher and on the quarterbacks, where Pittsburgh is probably going to have some big leads, which means TJ will not have to worry about the run at all, and he can just go after the quarterback. Mm-hmm. But I still would bet on JJ just because
I would lean JJ. But as much as there's a rookie wall, there might
here's the thing.
Three surgeries on your back wall.
Let me know what the odds are, and if it's good value, I'll take TJ.
That's right. Hey, John, let's look at what are the options here at receiver and tight end? Okay, we know Hopkins.
Right.
And we know, I guess we know Ryan Griffin.
Well, O'Brien said yesterday Griffin and Steven Anderson could be back. Now, if it hadn't been a short week, you know, you don't get guys back from a percussion.
Yeah.
Concussion protocol on a short week. It just doesn't happen. And they had five of them. I've never seen a team have five, never seen a position have three, never seen a position wiped out by injuries in one game. So Bill would not tell us that if he didn't have a really good idea that Griffin and Anderson were going to be back. So until Fuller comes back, Braxton Miller's other starting receiver. If Fuller's ready to go, Miller will go back to third. And then they got this Andy Jones, who they had claimed from the Cowboys, cut and re-signed.
John, before we talk about what they could have going in this week, how impressive was what O'Brien was able to accomplish last week with that limited offense that he had?
I thought O'Brien and his staff did a really good job. If you think about all the deficiencies, a short week with a rookie quarterback getting one practice, an offensive line coming off one of the worst performances in the history of football at any level, and then you had controversy with your quarterback Tom Savage because of his agent. Mm-hmm. You still have the Dwayne Brown situation everybody's talking about. You had no tight ends. You had to get two rookie offensive linemen, Kyle Fuller and Julion Davenport. You had to get them ready to be, you know, tight ends in short yardage situations. And then you lose both corners in the game. And I know Cincinnati's bad, but still, they did what they had to do. I thought they should have been praised. I heard somebody, while I was coming back in town, a guy call y'all, and he just knows the season's already over because they didn't do better against Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
I asked Ted Johnson on Friday, I said, did you ever have a game where y'all beat a bad team and you went in the dressing room and said, nah, that shouldn't count as much? Because he said, well, of course not. You know, you go with what's in front of you, you win, you prepare, and then you move on. He said every victory is as important as the other unless it has playoff implications. Now they've got New England. We know they're not going to win in New England. Then they get Tennessee and Kansas City, two teams they beat here last year. Those are the key. If they could somehow be 3-2 after that egg they laid against Jacksonville, it would be miraculous with a rookie quarterback and their offensive line.
3-2 after that start would be pretty darn good.
Wouldn't it be?
Pretty darn good. Not likely.
What do you think of Tennessee?
Their first game, they lose at home by 10. They couldn't run the ball at all. And then the second game, I think I picked them to win at Jacksonville, but I thought Jacksonville played a lot better. I thought Jacksonville probably was going 16-0 after the way they play. They got one sack against the Titans. Now, the Titans' offensive line is one of the best in the league. DeMarco Murray didn't have a good game. I can't remember if he got hurt, but Derrick Henry came in, had almost 100 yards. So they ran the ball the way they're accustomed to. Plus, Mariota ran a little bit as well. And their defense, it was the same situation. Bortles didn't play worth a darn. You know, he only had 125 yards passing here. But Jacksonville got destroyed at home by the Titans, a team they destroyed in the next to last game at home last season because Bortles played well.
Right.
So now I'm looking, number one, the Titans are the best team in the division, and Jacksonville, I'm not going to say they're the worst, but after watching that game, it's like their fans are going, here we go again.
Yeah, yeah.
As good as Leonard Fournette's been for them, and like I know he's really good against the Texans and just kind of good against the Titans, would they have been better served going quarterback early?
Now, Tom Coughlin wanted a power running back. And I saw a stat, and this I just can't imagine this would happen to Jacksonville. Teams that draft running backs in the top five all of a sudden have an immediate turnaround. And I can't remember what the stat was, but it was so impressive. You're thinking, well, that can't be Jacksonville. They can't have that kind of turnaround with that quarterback. But it looks like, Cody, they're going to I've been watching these young quarterbacks. Josh Allen of Wyoming, who they're saying could be the best, he is off to a terrible start.
He doesn't look very good.
Now, you know, the scouts don't care what they do in college. They claim they do, but they don't. That's how Mitch Trubisky ends up being a second overall pick. But with Darnold, with him, at some point they got to start talking about Mayfield and Rudolph. You know, those guys are tearing it up, and they're big, and they got – well, Rudolph is big, but there seem to be so many more quarterbacks. You know Jacksonville's going to target one. And also, there are quarterbacks like, say, Garoppolo, A.J. McCarron. At some point, Cincinnati's got to look at McCarron, don't they?
Right.
Before it's last year of
his contract. I think maybe this week.
I don't – they Marvin Lewis has already said he's not doing it this week. I think you give him a couple more with the new coordinator, Bill Lazor, to see what he can do, if he can switch things around any, because the Bengals definitely have talent. They're just not utilizing it. And Andy Dalton is not on target, and I feel bad for him because they let their two best offensive linemen go
and
in
just,
free agency.
Just to follow up on your earlier point, NFL research has determined that since 2000, teams that draft running backs in the top five have improved by more wins the next season than any other teams, than any teams drafting any other position. And on average, they improved by 4 wins.
So Jacksonville wins 7 games. But that's still impressive. Hey, and then why is that really?
Imagine
why
if Trent
do we think
Richardson
that?
I guess
the
top five running
stat.
Back. Are, huh?
Imagine if Trent Richardson wasn't a part of that stat.
Oh, my gosh, that's true.
It might be even better.
It might be even. That's a great point. He skewed it because I guess, you know, most top five picks are like no-brainers, you know, that are transcendent big-time players. I mean, Adrian Peterson and obviously some of those guys that go in
take
top five.
Take pressure off the quarterback, control the ball.
That's an amazing stat.
Fresh, isn't it?
4 wins?
Would you email that to me, please?
I will absolutely
that's
email
a great
that
stat.
To you.
John, people have been asking, and I think we've overlooked here on the text line, 713-572-4610. Just a quick note about the Texans. Bruce Ellington, with the concussion, if that clears up, he should be back this week and then be
if
ready for
if that clears
Tennessee
up, and that's a big if. O'Brien didn't mention him.
Against
Jacksonville. C.J. Fedorowicz, I was watching him in the dressing room yesterday. You know, when guys have concussions, they're a lot of talking to them. You know, you expect them to be walking around in a daze and a fog, but they're not. And so C.J. has had him, I think, back-to-back. That's why he's going to miss at least
three in a year.
He missed at least 8 games, and he can come back after 6 in practice. That's why they need Ryan Griffin to really step up and kind of play for both of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why they re-signed him.
Steven Anderson, every time they don't throw to him much, but he always seems to be open when they do. I'm eager to see what he can do now in the backup role.
John McClain with us. We got a lot more to get to with him. We're going to talk about which of these 0-2 teams could make some noise and how many of those 0-2 teams pop up on the Texans' schedule going forward. We're out here live from the Devil's River Whiskey Broadcast Desk at the T-Mobile, 9212 Fry Road in Mira Mesa. You can find yourself with come upgrade your car with SyncUp out here with our friends at T-Mobile. You're going to have your chance to win yourself some Texans tickets. Next, it's Texans Ticket Pick'em. We'll tell you exactly how you win them next in Loop Sports Radio 610. All right, real simple. You're calling number 10 to 832-430-2WIN, 832-430-2946. To name that fight song for Jonesy, you're going to win yourself a pair of Texans tickets, and you get to pick the home game. There's just one pair of Steelers tickets left. Just name that fight song, 832-430-2WIN, 832-430-2946. You're calling number 10 to name that fight song to Jonesy. You win yourself a pair of Texans tickets. It is the alma mater of one of the three people sitting at the table here. John Lopez, the General John McClain. I'm Cody Stutz in the Loop with you today, live from the Devil's River Whiskey Broadcast Desk.
Before we get on with the NFL, I would like to – we do a lot of charity stuff at this station. And
yeah, we do.
And the listeners always respond incredibly. I'm always overwhelmed. Well, I have another charity case here that's very important. And he didn't ask me to do this. I'm doing it on my own. Cody Stutz wants to go to the UH Tech game Saturday, and he's willing to buy somebody's ticket. So if you're out there and you're not going or you got a couple extra tickets, he can buy. What's your email?
Cody Stoots at sportsradio610.com.
That's STOOTS. Give email him and let him know, because he wants to buy two tickets and go that game.
I'm not sure, so Cody, but I think he called you a charity case.
Well, you know, hey, I've been called worse.
That's true. I have too.
I've been called worse.
I think it'd be I think that game would be a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, if the Aggies weren't playing at 11 against those Hogs, I'd be there too.
Well, I was. If I would say, if I didn't have to go to New England, I would be at the Baylor Oklahoma game. But no, if I didn't have to go to New England, I would go to see U of H and Tech.
It's a fun one.
Unbeaten Houston Cougars.
We've done well against those Hogs, man, but I'm a little nervous with this up-and-down Aggie team.
You
man.
Should be nervous about anybody A&M playing.
I know.
I've watched those two games.
The first half.
I thought about you at halftime of that game.
The first half of the Louisiana game, they looked like a three-win team. The second half, they looked like the first half of the UCLA game. Like an eight. Don't you think you were there, Cody? Like about an eight-win team.
It was an embarrassing effort from Texas A&M in the first half. In the second half, it looked like the easiest football they played all year. They just got whatever they wanted. Made all the throws, made all the blocks, tackled everybody short. It was incredible.
I think it was that kid who ran off and signaled the fans that no matter how bad they play, he still thinks he thought the Aggies were number one.
And if you think that they handled it internally, as they said, and disciplined him, I think they probably bought him a steak dinner.
And why is that?
Because his big brother is Grant Gunnell. It was Will Gunnell.
The best quarterback in the state.
A 2019 guy. He's a junior this year. And he's by far the best quarterback in the state. He threw for 7 touchdowns in his first game.
Oh, my. Sounds like Gary,
500 yards and 7 touchdowns.
Sounds like Gary Kubiak at St. Pius.
Well, maybe Gary Kubiak will be coaching a St. Pius kid at some point. But, with the Hogs, man, we've owned them. And we got a tough one here because we got to win this. I can't have Clint start. It's in Arlington. Remember they're wearing the Cowboys uniforms, Cowboys replica uniforms? But we got Clint Sterner, man. I can't afford to lose this game.
You got a bet with Clint?
No, he's going to talk garbage.
Wait till I get him going, though, John.
Clint's coming in this week.
Okay, while we're here at college football. 0-3.
We can talk about anybody but Baylor.
What'd you think of Texas USC?
I thought Texas played as well as it could play. I thought the defense played great against a quarterback supposed to be the number one pick in the draft. If I'm Longhorn fans, I'm very excited about the defense. Now, of course, they don't want to have a letdown. Still can't understand how you can be that bad on defense in the first game and then bounce back. But as I said when A&M blew that game to UCLA, for the first time in my life, I felt sorry for the Aggies.
Hey.
I really, really did. And then when Texas had the game with the comeback, and then they lost it, I felt bad for the Longhorns, because I've told you guys before, I always want Baylor to be the best, but I want the other teams to win too. I want all of our teams to be good. It makes football in the state of Texas better. Mm-hmm. If A&M and Texas and the Cowboys are all playing really well, it gets people really fired up about the state of Texas. And it doesn't matter what Baylor and TCU and Tech and U of H do. It's great for the fans, but it's better if A&M, Texas, and the Cowboys are all really good.
Yeah.
So I pull for every team. I ain't pull for the Cowboys. My Baylor friends pull for, like, anybody but Texas, whoever Texas is playing. I've never thought that.
Mm-hmm.
The General John McClain in with us at McClain_on_NFL. Out here live with our friends at T-Mobile, 9212 Fry Road in Mira Mesa, the crossroads.
It is amazing to me how much more exciting college football is in the NFL right now. The NFL is awful. One of the good things about having a Thursday game or Monday game is I can watch my NFL package on DirecTV, which I don't get to do much. So I had all 8 games, first one's on, and I'm looking at scores of 0, 3, and 6. And they were not all of them, but most of them were just so boring. It took an exciting game, like Indianapolis and Arizona, which was a terrible game, but it went to overtime.
Great transition by you, John. Let me throw an idea out there that I think might help the NFL. me helping the NFL.
Well, you know what?
It needs help.
Why don't you save that idea? Let's talk about that idea next. We'll get to those 0-2 teams as well before it's all said and done.
It really is. I think you'll like my idea, John.
Good. All right. Well, let's get to that idea here next. Is John McClain still with us out here live at T-Mobile? It's T-Mobile Tuesday. Find out how you can get a free movie rental with our friends out here at T-Mobile when you swing on by. John Lopez, Cody Stutes, the General John McClain out here in 9212 Fry Road. Fry Road in Mira Mesa is the crossroad at the T-Mobile stores, part of T-Mobile Tuesday from the Devil's River Whiskey Broadcast Desk. Congrats to Robert, who won a pair of tickets to the Steelers game.
Oh, that's the last one.
He knew that was the Texas Tech fight
song.
Merry
Christmas. Would you say Steven?
Robert. Robert won those tickets. So you have your next chance to win at one. You got chances with the triple threat as well at 3 and 5. And so the games left for you to pick from: Titans, Chiefs, Browns, Colts, Cardinals, and 49ers are those games that you can pick from. Just 1 o'clock, we'll tell you how you win them at 1 o'clock. And you want to swing out to the T-Mobile store out here? You can register to win some tickets as well. Just drop your name in, and when we draw your name out, if we draw your name, when we do the drawing, you win yourself a pair of tickets there as or here as well. So how about all of that? All right, so, John, you had this big idea to help out the NFL because, you know, it sounds like John McClain was not too happy with what he saw from the overall
college,
NFL product.
College football is better and more fun to watch than the NFL.
More exciting.
We all agree on that, right?
Yes.
I think there's a reason for that, and I go back to this weekend, which really started making me wonder this. You know why we're all talking about how awesome, we as a country are talking about how awesome USC and Texas was? The reason is, the majority of people were going to watch Clemson and Louisville at that hour. But there was another option that turned out to be a better game on over-the-air broadcasts. In other words, you didn't have to go to the red zone. You didn't have to buy a special DirecTV package or whatever. Over-the-air broadcasts of NFL, you need to have every game at noon, every game at, on these alternate channels, every game on the afternoon, on the late games, over the air. Because you know what, that is, these noon games this past weekend I was in because I wanted to see how good the Chiefs were and such. But if some of them were bad games, if you had the option to not have this special package but to go over the air, like an ESPN, ESPN2, I'm just using an example, TNT, I mean whatever, you would go to that game, and the NFL would be more entertaining because you're watching better games and you don't have to buy a special package to do it.
I didn't see any game, and I watched them all. They came close to anything, came close to like USC and Texas.
But what I'm saying is that had the markings going in of a bad game, and Clemson-Louisville had the markings of a good game. I started watching Clemson-Louisville, but then all of a sudden, checking in on Texas every once in a while, that's the game I was locked in on. And you know why? Because I didn't have to buy a special package for it like you do in the NFL. It was over-the-air college football, and there's 15 games you can watch.
It's also, people say it's bad quarterbacks. Well, Drew Brees is winless. Phillip Rivers is winless. And a lot of people say it's offensive lines. Well, there are some bad offensive lines, but all of them are not. Even some teams with good offensive lines had bad games. And I don't know what the answer is. I just know, and I haven't seen if the ratings are down in the NFL. If they are, they'll panic.
Thursday night's way up.
And they've got the Giants ticketed for 5 games.
Yeah.
They've had one. So we're going to have to see them. I'm trying to think, are there any other good teams off to bad starts? They usually put Arizona.
Giants,
Arizona's not good.
Mm-hmm. Watching Night Football next week against the Cowboys.
Ugh.
But just think how cool it would be is if you had all the noon games on regular
broadcast.
It would
be. It'd save me a whole lot of money. I know that.
Right. and more people would be talking about the great game that – like what's a good early game that was actually
– Chiefs. Chiefs.
No,
Eagles.
No. I mean, that wasn't one of ours. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that wasn't one of ours.
That wasn't one of ours. That we could have maybe turned over to
Washington and the Rams went down to the end.
Yeah.
Philadelphia. Where'd Philadelphia
Kansas
play?
City.
Oh, at Kansas City. Philadelphia and Kansas City had the makings early, and then Kansas City.
I mean, it wasn't headliner, but Cardinals Colts was good the whole way.
Yeah, but God, it was a bad game.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. Let's say
I watched it because it was an AFC involved. The Colts. I tried to watch all AFC South.
We weren't watching Titans Jaguars.
Well, that's the reason, because it was a blowout.
Well, no, I'm saying that we didn't get it.
Oh, yeah, they showed New England and New Orleans.
Couldn't you imagine?
Another blowout.
But what I'm saying is I think more people would be engaged in the NFL if you had your choice of all the noon games on over-the-air broadcast.
Just like you do, like if you have the NFL
like college
package.
Football.
And also a close game was Carolina and Buffalo. I think, what was it, 6-3?
That was ugly.
Something like that.
And then the afternoon game
was the final.
The afternoon games was Broncos Cowboys that we got.
Right. I
would have watched
Rams Redskins.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
That was a better game.
Of course, what are the odds of the NFL?
We all thought the Cowboys. Never happen because they make too much money. The NFL's not going to roll back money on the owners.
No, but what I'm saying is they're still over the air. They're still getting money.
Yeah, but they get money from DirecTV. They get extra besides the network package. I think that the money's like $260 million, something like that, $225 million, way more than $200 million every team gets.
Mm-hmm.
And the owners, because you see the new list of the Cowboys are still the most valuable franchise in sports in the world. Mm-hmm. Yankees, I think, are second. But the Bills are the lowest rated valued NFL franchise, and the Bills are $1.5 billion, which is more than the average of Major League Baseball franchise.
And just about every NBA team, not named the Rockets and Clippers so far.
It's just and at some point, they got to worry. I know they're worried about millennials. I saw a story. Somebody sent me one. Bloomberg was doing about how young people just won't watch games on TV.
Mm-hmm.
The General John McClain here with us out here at T-Mobile, the Devil's River Whiskey broadcast. Let's talk about some of those 0-2 teams. We mentioned some of them. The teams that are winless in the NFL through 2 weeks, the Jets, the Browns, the Bengals, the Colts, the Chargers, the Giants, the Bears, the Saints, and the 49ers.
The Chargers are the best. They've missed two games on late field goals.
Mm-hmm.
And just like last year, I saw a stat about how many games they've lost by one score the last 2 years. And in this case, that kicker that the kicker, like Young Ho Ko or whatever, mm-hmm. Koo, whatever his name is, he missed a 44-yarder, and then they had a chance to win the first one at all at Denver, and they got close and then blew it. So I think San Diego, which couldn't sell out its new 28,000-seat stadium, and they said were more Dolphin fans than Charger fans. Miami Herald longtime beat writer Armando Zaguero said he had never seen such representation mm-hmm. of the Dolphins on the road. They were at that game against the Chargers, and I guess that's the way it's going to be for all the opponents.
Every opponent there. Mm. Plus, it's like Las Vegas is going to be with the Raiders. It's the road trip you have to – if every year, like somebody, some NFL team's fans take one road trip a year, it's either going to be Vegas or L.A. So you're going to have more people there anyway.
You can sure get tickets at the Coliseum, too.
Yeah.
Those two home games for the Rams, my goodness. The Longhorns and USC didn't sell out. They drew 84,000. That's more than the NFL, both games combined.
Yep.
What do you make of the Saints? They're 0-2.
Boy, what a waste for Drew Brees now. Ever since they won the Super Bowl, I feel bad for Drew. Their defense just continues to be awful. Now, I wouldn't want to play the Patriots one week after they lost that first game at home.
True.
You knew they were going to have a revenge game. There's a chance Gronkowski is not going to play. He keeps telling the media he's okay, but he also says on his groin injury he's day-to-day.
Yeah.
And maybe he will, maybe he won't. He had a big game. But I can't remember who the Saints play, but there's a good chance they're going to be 0-3. A lot of people are talking about Sean Payton will finally be gone, and there's a movement in New York for the Jets to hire him and let him coach the quarterback. They use, say, Sam Darnold with the top pick. And there's some longtime coaches.
Well, that sounds interesting to me.
Have him with the Jets.
Have him with Darnold or Rosen or somebody.
Mm-hmm. I think it might be Gary Myers that's pushing that in New York.
How about like the Bears in that division?
God, the Bears just getting killed by Tampa.
Yeah.
And
Tampa might be onto something.
John Fox is getting fired, right?
You would think he hasn't. He won't go to Trubisky yet. Mike Glennon went back to Tampa, a chance to show Tampa, boy, you should have kept me around. Of course, he should be happy they let him go.
Yeah.
Instead of keeping him around, of course they couldn't have because Winston is definitely the quarterback. I want to see the Bucs do it against a better team before we start thinking they can win that division. Atlanta has not had that Super Bowl hangover yet.
Yeah.
To win and beat up Green Bay the way they did, I thought the Packers would get revenge for the NFC Championship game lost there, but Atlanta handled them. Steve Sarkisian, you can't tell it's him instead of Kyle Shanahan right now.
Right.
Maybe Matt Ryan runs that offense.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.